Eye on the Arctic, Views from the North. I'm Carolyn Arbour. Last month, during his annual visit to northern Canada, Prime Minister Stephen Harper announced that an experimental modular farm station would soon be built in the town of Hay River in the Northwest Territories. The news was met with enthusiasm by Sylvain Charlebois, a professor in distribution and food policy at the University of Guelph in Ontario. He wrote in an opinion piece published in the daily The Ottawa Citizen that this initiative is long overdue and that Arctic agriculture is a growth area. Sylvain Charlebois, hello. Thank you for joining us.
Not a problem.
Can you explain to us, first of all, what is this advanced farming facility that will be set up on the Northern Training Farm Institute's campus in Hay River and in what is called the Ag North Pilot Project?
Well, it is a pilot project, and it actually has adopted a modular approach. So it means that the project is scalable over the long term. And what we're going to be doing up north is to experiment, essentially, some technologies in growing produce all year round in the Arctic, and obviously the main objective there is to provide fresh and readily available produce to local communities up north, which is obviously a challenge due to the Nordic climate.
Will you be experimenting in growing produce outside or in greenhouses?
Well, it's actually going to be in greenhouses, essentially, but obviously the cost of energy is often prohibitive. And over the years, what we've been able to do is to develop technologies which would allow the cost of energy to be more modest than say 10, 15, 20 years ago, which really made this pilot project possible.
What other challenges are there to agriculture in the north?
Well, I mean, everything around agriculture, like, for example, fertilizers, equipment, distribution equipment as well, logistics. I mean, all of these things combined make for Nordic agriculture a challenging concept in general. And so over the years, we've seen many, many companies being successful in providing products to local communities up north. The issue is health. Obviously, many of these products aren't as healthy, and as we know, the closer you get to the farm, the more likely you will eat healthy foods, and that's the intent of this particular project.
Because the products that they are getting are non-perishable staples.
Well, they're non-perishable, but also you're dealing with companies, multinationals, who would provide products that are not overly healthy for everyday consumption. For example, soft drinks, chocolate bars, those kinds of things, and so to make healthy products more readily available to communities up north, that's certainly a desirable outcome.
What kind of agriculture is practiced in Canada's north right now?
Well, essentially, you're just looking at different kinds of crops that do grow in inclement weather. For example, quinoa is actually one of them. There are a few species that actually do survive the Nordic climate, but because of the tundra, you're limited in capacity to grow crops, let alone livestock. Livestock is actually even worse, which is why you have fish, seal, and those kinds of things. But beyond that, you don't have really beef or chicken or pork, which really represents more affordable sources of protein. And if you start building capacity on the grain side, on the fiber side, down the road, you're likely going to develop capacity on the livestock side with protein. We've seen that in Scandinavia. In fact, in some areas, and even in Great Britain, those countries have invested a lot of resources in building capacity and growing not only grains up north, but livestock as well. So I would say that down the road, we hope, anyways, that that northern communities will have access to a variety of agricultural commodities.
Are there a lot of greenhouses in Canada's north right now?
That I don't know. There are probably a few already, but not the same kind of modular farm that we're actually setting up right now up north. Because for a couple of reasons, we're using a different kind of technology, but also it is a scalable project as well. So we'll be producing, but at the same time, we'll be doing more research. To make sure that there's a business model can evolve from the project. It's not necessarily about growing things, but we need to make sure that we grow products and offer a price point that is affordable for northern communities. So you can grow all sorts of things, but if people can't buy it because it's too expensive to grow, then you're not accomplishing anything.
Right. The objective would be to be able to feed how many people annually, for example, and to create how many jobs?
Again, that's another economic-oriented question we don't necessarily have an answer to. I think at some point with the fact that the project is scalable, you can perhaps create jobs as a result, but for the time being, I think objectives, macroeconomic objectives, are quite modest. This is really about food security more so than food sovereignty at this particular point. Down the road, perhaps, we could build capacity and achieve food sovereignty for that particular area, but we're very far from that currently.
You did argue in the article that the measures that were announced by the federal government to promote northern agriculture, like an initiative to boost greenhouse projects, is good news, and that you argue that it can bring about lifestyle changes. You believe that by improving food security, that people in the north will turn to these products, to the fresh produce, eventually?
Well, it's not going to be an automatic. Obviously, you need to educate the public. You need to make them aware that these products are readily available, which is why affordability is a key issue. If you have soft drinks that are much more affordable than carrots or broccoli or other kinds of produce, then you're still facing the same challenges. And if you augment food security in a region, you're likely going to reduce the amount of crime, for example, in that same area, or any social challenges, social economic challenges that you may face. I would say that because you're actually feeding people with healthier products, these kinds of problems will probably be reduced. It may not go away, but certainly you're offering hope to a population just looking for different kinds of alternatives.
It's a building block.
Absolutely. And so I think we're years away from an ideal scenario where the northern communities would become food sovereign, but for the time being, I think we're taking the right steps to achieve that down the road.
You further argue in the article or in the opinion piece that food production in the north can be beneficial to all Canadians. How so?
Well, so this is another aspect that we need to think about. So up north, the intent here is to grow produce to serve the northern communities. But as we know in agriculture, areas and regions offer different kinds of products. And more and more people in Toronto, Vancouver, large urban centers in Canada are always looking for exotic products more and more. And the one taste that is really emerging as a as an intriguing taste for people interested in culinary arts is bitterness. And when you look at agriculture up north, it actually does offer different kinds of spices and products that could be a little bit more bitter than what we would have access to in the south. So that could actually be an interesting avenue for that project. Down the road, we may actually see chefs and restaurants looking at serving Nordic cuisine, for example, and we're seeing that more and more around the world. There's that appeal, and there's a market for that. There are some people who are willing to pay more to have access to that Nordic experience.
There are native herbs, for example, that we don't have in the large Canadian urban centers?
That's right. There's different. I mean, every region in the world can offer a different kinds of commodities and flavors, and it's the same for the north. Essentially, you can actually because the climate is different, you can actually feel a difference in the products as well.
Interesting. Thank you very much for speaking to us about this today, Sylvain Charlebois.
Not a problem. Have a good day.